Not watching anything. Not even one or two shows. You're off TV.
Nothing. Yeah.
What a millennial. Everyone, thanks for tuning into this week's edition of Podcast and Chill, a podcast where we chill. Joined as always early in the week by gambler extraordinaire Jack Duffy. What's up, buddy?
Just coming back off a nice tease of a long weekend. Out of school now, it's not as fun because you lose all your free time, so you really value those days off, and the bounce back into the work week really blows. But it was a solid week of college football. NFL was but great week of college football. Unfortunately, went 1-2 this week.
But
I really felt confident about the Lions. I don't know what happened, but I'm excited. Week 13, good amount of home dogs, and Bills Patriots this week. I'm going to go ahead and let my hopes get built up, get all confident for Sunday, and then be done in after about 15 minutes when it's 14-0 and the Bills are dead. So,
well, here's
just another normal week.
Can I just say congratulations to you on winning your Thanksgiving, in our Thanksgiving tease?
I mean,
seriously. Can we just give it up to ourselves? Well, I mean, really, really special stuff.
And the toughest one was just the first one.
Yeah, it felt so dirty to cover that Vikings game.
At the same time, I thought the Lions, I don't know, it was a weird game. I mean, Stafford did get banged up. They could would have had a shot to win it, really. I thought the Vikings were due, and I thought the Lions were better, but clearly Stafford's banged up. We'll discuss both of them in due time. But the Chargers were very impressive. I've been believers in them. Who knows with the AFC West, but they were solid. And then, we don't even need to spend much on time on the Giants, but we still will spend too much time. Let's see. Eagles keep rolling, although I will say they haven't played great teams. And anything else? Unfortunately, my Terps lost to the Orange last night in college basketball. That was rough.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts.
I'll say, I used to, they played at Maryland freshman year, Syracuse did, and I wore Syracuse stuff. But turns out, spending all that time and paying all that money for a piece of paper really changes your values. So
yeah.
Now yesterday I found myself rooting for Maryland.
Wow. Traitor. Benedict Duff.
I know. It was tough. It's not, it's nothing I can do about it. It's just, what you feel.
It's in your heart.
I didn't even bet on the game. That's how much I didn't want to take a side. But I still found myself cheering on Maryland, especially because they were losing.
All right, so Vegas on Thursday, let's just go last week to our tease game. Vegas got crushed on Thanksgiving. Absolutely murdered.
Vegas got crushed this weekend.
Yeah.
All over the place.
And it was just extrapolated onto the weekend. Favorites covering all over the place. Joe Public killing it. Up until I saw that last Sunday night game when Green Bay, fortunately for them, covered against the Steelers, I saw from a few casinos that they could have been in the seven figures of losses just for that one day.
That was one of the picks I lost.
And that game didn't help in terms of, they didn't make money off that. They lost less. So we always say, it's a tenet that, that you always say is, there's a reason that you're still building casinos. Well, you know what? If weeks like last week and the last couple of weeks keep happening, they're going to start closing these casinos down. They're going to be turning off the lights.
Yeah, I saw a tweet. It was week five. Through week five, Vegas was up, say, 12 units, which for most, people that listen to this podcast are probably familiar, but it's basically just whatever your bet size is. It's different for everyone, so that just kind of scales it down to an even amount. They were up 12 units, and since week five, I believe, on the last 7 weeks, favorites are hitting at 70%, which is unreal. So there's some regression coming, but the question is it going to come in time for us to make some money, or are we just going to keep losing money and throwing in, lighting on fire?
That's the $1 million question. With that, you wanna get to some of these games?
Let's do it.
All right, first game, Thursday. This game looked good 3 weeks ago. No, not so much. Washington at Dallas. I had Dallas by 2.5 at home.
Yeah, you had them by 2.5. Well, I had them as 1.5-point dogs, considering how bad they looked at Thanksgiving. And it opened at 1, so I think the Cowboys minus 1, so I think he's out there, if my math's right.
Yes, I would gladly take it.
You get that one. Now it's over back to Redskins minus 1, so it makes sense that everyone's on the Redskins. And here I'd be like, Joe Pub, but I mean, how in the hell am I going to bet on the Cowboys at this point?
I don't see how. They look lost, and it's somehow so strange to see what's going on with Dez Bryant. Like, is Dez Bryant good anymore? I mean, have we said this before?
I honestly don't think so.
I mean, you keep saying that he's just not getting open. He just looks kind of slow, and Definitely not dynamic.
I don't think he was ever that. I think he was. I mean, he's always been big, but he was never that top tier receivers. But now he's kind of exposed. And to be fair to him, they never gave him any help. They're still running out Terrence Williams and people like that to be a secondary option. You know, what's the little white dude's name? Cole Beasley. It's just kind of sad, and they're still running out Jason Witten, so it's not really fair to him. But he's. Like I said, he's a little bit better Kelvin Benjamin. That's all he is these days. All
right. What do you think the name of Jason Garrett's podcast is going to be next year when he's out of a job?
Who, him and Rex? Him and Rex Ryan?
Yeah, what's...
Rex and the kid?
Red and Rex. How about that? Red and Rex.
Yeah, Red and Rex. Jason Garrett's not a good coach. He's been getting lucky because the team was so good around him. Well, really just the offensive line. And now their offensive line, they lost a couple guys. Some are banged up, and they're really seeing on offense. The offensive side, Dak's forced to make really tough decisions, and he's clearly it shows why he wasn't necessarily a first overall pick. But he's still a good quarterback. I think people overrated him last year, but now on the outside, people are being a little too hard on him because there's only so much he can do when he has Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams, ineffective Dez Bryant, and Jason Witten, and then handing off the ball to an older Alfred Morris and a Rob Smith, whatever the hell it is. So I cut him some slack. It's not all on him, but it doesn't look good for Jerry, and fuck Jerry anyways, so it doesn't matter. But it's a disaster there.
Last year, Jason Garrett won Coach of the Year. That happened. I think we all need to come to grips with that.
That's nuts.
All right, next game, Minnesota at Atlanta. Very interesting game. I think this is sort of the, I don't know, this could be a coming out party for Atlanta because a lot of people have been quietly been jumping back on the Falcons bandwagon. Minnesota's been good for a while, and their defense was good again last week, although a lot of weird Xavier Rhodes plays. He was all over the map. But I had Atlanta by 1.5 at home, giving some respect to the Vikings.
So I figured this was kind of like before we thought the Cowboys were bad when they went into Atlanta. Atlanta was 3-point favorites, and I was like, what the hell? I did the same thing here. I actually had them by 3.5, and it's 3. The Vikings are a great team, but I think the Falcons at home are really solid. And I think the Vikings are just due for kind of a clunker because Case Keenum played one of the best games I've ever seen him play last week. And I just don't see that happening again. So I had 3.5, and it's 3. And it's obviously everyone's all over the Vikings. Because the Vikings at plus money is pretty attractive, but this, like that week with the Cowboys, it just seems like a weird line. And like we say, the weird lines, probably what, 65-70% of the time, you take the weird lines and you're doing all right. And this is one of those weird lines because it really doesn't make any sense. They should probably be even. And I would say neutral field Vikings are at least this year have looked better, but one of those weird, like I said, Vegas knows what they're doing.
Yeah. All right. Next game, New England at Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor officially starting. So we like that.
Oh, wow. That was probably good for McDermott. That takes some balls right there to go back to Tyrod after, such a tough performance winning out the Chiefs. You'd think he'd want to go back to Peterman, but
I wish I could warn the two AFC East teams, the Bills and the Jets, because both of their head coaches actually were defensive coordinators for my team once upon a time. And Sean McDermott was one of the worst defensive coordinators and holders of the defense I've ever seen until I saw Todd Bowles do the same thing. And God, if I could have bet all the money that I had that neither of those guys would last 3 years at either of those spots, I would have been a rich man. But unfortunately, I did not take those bets. I have New England favored by 9 on the road.
I also had them by 9 as well, and it opened at – what did it open at? Where'd it go?
Lost it.
Did I not write it down? No, there. Oh, I had them at 7.5. I apologize. And it opened at 9. So you get that one right in the nose. Well, it's the Patriots and it's the Bills, so we know how this one's going to roll. Yeah, that's about all I got for that. By Sunday, somehow I'm going to be talking, getting my hopes up, and then it'll be destroyed by about 1:35 Eastern time. So, I mean, the Bills have been fighting them. They're back home. Aside from the Saints game, they played really well at home. Everyone's going to be on New England, rightly so. And I don't know. That's all the analysis I have. New England should roll, but it's a divisional game, so is what it is. I will say, if you do the math, that puts New England as a 15-point favorite at home, and that's just a very weird number. And I believe that's a bit high, because the Bills aren't as bad as
No.
The Dolphins, whatever, 16.5 or something like that, and they're closing out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think because it's not that number across from home field, then I think it's just easier to go from, 8 or 9 is like at a slower pace than you necessarily would from like 14 to 15, just because that's like, more important numbers. But through those first three games that we did, Washington, Dallas, and Buffalo, three of those six coaches, I think, probably done at the end of the season. Because, you know, in the NBA last year, like, there's that one just strangest thing that happened is that no coach got fired at the end of the season. Do you remember that last year? Mm-hmm. Zero coaches for the first time in forever were fired. And I think, in a different sport, I think we're about to see the exact opposite of that this year, that there's going to be a lot of coaches fired sipping some Pinot Grigio with me doing podcasts. So
I think McDermott's fine. The Tyro thing was weird, but the I'm not ready to give up on him yet. I don't like what he did, but who knows if it's organizational pressures. I don't think the Bills give up on him after a year after dealing with Rex. So on that end, but yeah, I think Garrett's a pretty good candidate to get canned. He's going to be the fall guy.
Quick aside here. Before, right when we got on, I asked you if you were watching any TV shows recently, and just a little wine reference got my brain going somewhere. So have you ever heard of the show called Drunk History?
I have not.
All right, so it's a Comedy Central show, and they bring on famous actors and comedians and people in the entertainment industry to tell historical tales when they're just blasted drunk. And they give these people, you know, beer, alcohol, whatever it is, and they're just sitting at a table with their bloodshot eyes staring into the camera. And what I assume they give them a tale. They, you know, like one, for example, could be, you know, Will Ferrell. They sit him down, they get him drunk as hell, and they say, okay, tell us a story of how John Wilkes Booth killed Abraham Lincoln at that play that night. And and Will Ferrell will just go into all these, you know, how John Wilkes Booth got there and like all these weird things that happened before and like the actual act. And oh my God, it's fantastic. And, you know, they go off all on these ridiculous stories. I'm not even sure how much information they give them about what actually happened. They might give them like, okay, read the Wikipedia page for 1 minute here and just kind of like go from there. But that's what I was watching before this. So that was, somebody, I think Sarah Silverman was talking about how some famous girl got kidnapped and, you know, they used fruit to gag her and I don't even know. But all right, that
sounds wonky. What kind of TV you want watching?
Comedy Central, man. Late night Comedy Central. I got a little glass of wine here, so it got me thinking about drunk history. So that was it. That was my diatribe. So if you're looking for good new TV, I suggest Drunk History. You don't have to binge it. You really don't even have to watch the full episode. Just like 7-8 minutes. Check it out on YouTube. Just watch one. Public.
All right, I might Joe Public.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? I'll tweet out a couple of funny ones after this on the Pod and Chill feed. All right, next game. What a transition. San Francisco at Chicago. Jimmy G, he's starting. Official.
Yeah, big news. I think that's actually pretty positive for the 49ers. I was thinking they were going to wait till like the very last moment possible, but I guess Beathard was banged up and just so bad they couldn't wait any longer.
So I'm not really sure. I put this at Chicago by 3 at home, but I have no idea how Jimmy G affects this line. So that's what I had before. What did you have?
I had Chicago by 3.5. It opened at 5. Now it's down to 3.5. Honestly, the play is let the money pour in on 49ers and then just go with Chicago. Because, yeah, Jimmy G's coming in, but people forget he's still, like, he's not a starting quarterback. He's started a couple games with the Patriots. So that's, and we've seen with Patriots quarterbacks that go on other teams, they end up not being that good.
Jacoby Brissett.
I think he's got the tools. I don't believe necessarily you're going to back him with your dollars on the road in Chicago against the Bears team who's looked awful. But at the same time, in Chicago, they've shown to be pretty stout defensively. So anything goes. They beat the Panthers. The Packers game is weird. They kept it close with the Lions, or they kept it close with the Vikings. I mean, they looked awful, but it was the Eagles. So that's not really a fair judgment. This is kind of a, you know, clearly public play all over the 49ers, and one I'll probably end up staying away from just because it's too classic of a public play.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's value either way. I just saw Chicago play last week. I watched every play of them facing my team, and it was not pretty.
Also, John Fox is a terrible coach.
John Fox might also be canned. The Bears had zero first downs in the first half against my team. All right, that's it. That's all I got. That's all the analysis. John Fox is probably canned. I know he's a defense guy, but either way, that offense. You know, Mitch Trubisky looks like he might be in a little over his head. He looks like rookie year Blake Bortles a little bit, and he looks just a little over his head.
Well, here's the thing. He's playing – his tight end is – I don't know. It's not Zach Miller. His wide receivers are absolute garbage. And, I mean, his running backs are solid, but when you have no one to throw to and your coach sucks, it doesn't really help you out. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, it doesn't look great. At least they've done great on their defense. They have some really talented guys. They signed Trevathan. They had some good skill guys they drafted. So that's got good long-run potential. But for now, in the draft, they're obviously going to surround them with some skill positions, that wide receiver from Alabama. But for now, they're very anemic.
Okay. Tampa at Green Bay.
Oof. There's no line for this yet, at least that I could see.
No line. Why? Is that because Jameis?
I guess. I don't know why it makes a difference.
I had this as a clean 3 points, so.
Yeah, I had Packers minus two. I'm going to guess it's going to be somewhere, 2 to 3, 2.5 maybe. Putting money on Brett Hundley. I know he played well last week, but at the same time, that's not something I'm too interested in.
Nope.
But since this line's even out, or not even out, and these teams aren't playoff teams, we don't need to waste any more time.
Houston at Tennessee. Did you see Tom Savage's press conference, or lack thereof press conference?
Oh, yeah. I was watching. I was staying up to watch Bad Beats, as I do every Sunday with a
old fantastic
Scotty Van Pelt. Van Peasy, by the way.
Van Peasy is absolutely fantastic. One of the few Sports Center bright spots nowadays. Mm-hmm. What was interesting is that, I don't know if you heard the audio, but it wasn't just like, well, he was frustrated about the game and he just left. There was no reporters in the room to ask him questions. There's just nobody there.
I read that he took all the questions in the locker room, so it was actually, I don't know why he actually came out, but that's what I heard. It was weird for sure, especially live. I had no clue what was going on.
Hard to believe Tom Savage is confused. Really, really hard to believe. Can't figure out why.
Just to think, they started him over Watson beginning of the year. Bill O'Brien, also someone that should probably get fired.
The quarterback whisperer who can't whisper to a quarterback. I had Tennessee by 7.5 at home.
Yeah, I had them by 7.5. Or no. Yeah, 7.5 as well. It actually opened at 6.5, and now it is up to 7, which makes sense because the Texans didn't look good. So we push on that one. I mean, the Titans are better than the Ravens, and they're getting less points than the Ravens did. So, I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on it. And everyone, for some reason right now, this could be delayed. Some says the money's on the Texans. Again, no clue. So, another gross game.
Stay
away. Titans might be a playoff team, but they've looked pretty bad. Again, another terrible coach, Mike Mularkey, should get fired. They should be playing really well. They have weapons. They have Mariota, but they look god-awful.
We might see, 9 coaches fired.
Yep. It's just one of those things. There's just not that many good coaches, so they're just going to rotate around. McDaniel's going to be the next guy. They're like, oh, here he comes, and he's going to suck again. It's just really obnoxious.
Here's one thing I want to say about coaches is that a lot of this is lucky and circumstance and all that other stuff. And, it's like, who are we sometimes to just, be judging these coaches? But what I'll say is that, Ben McAdoo is perhaps, let's just generously say this, he's probably not an NFL head coach right now. We're going to get to the Giants. They're coming down. But Ben McAdoo is probably not an NBA or an NFL head coach. But I know that he turned down the Philadelphia coaching job because we offered it to him. He was our first number one choice. And then our current coach, Doug Peterson, who by all accounts is good at his job, or at least okay at his job, is now our coach. And we wanted this other guy. So a lot of these guys can sort of, just be put in this lucky category. And, listen, a couple years ago, the Warriors were playing David Lee over Draymond Green. People just luck into things. That's what happens. Sports is weird.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could have happened that McAdoo's in Philly and Carson Wentz is good, and all of a sudden he's not a bad coach. But like you said, at the same time, the only reason Chuck Pagano is in existence is because of Andrew Luck, because he is a terrible coach. But, yeah, it's going to be a mess this offseason. It's going to be another carousel. I'm just glad the Bills should hopefully stay out of it. And, obviously, your Eagles will be out of it, too. So it will be nice to not be involved for once. Oh, Hugh Jackson's also awful. So we can get through that.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone's awful at coaching except for me and you. So
yes. Keep that in mind.
Actually, I know everything about basketball and football. That's how much of a genius I am. So if anyone's interested, just you know where to find me.
Denver and Miami. I have the Dolphins by 2.5 at home, but who cares?
Whew, wow, you are generous. I had that at a pick 'em, and it's Dolphins minus 1. This is assuming Simeon's playing.
I think he is. Official. I think
they at least have a decent shot with Simeon. I mean, Paxton Lynch, good God. That was unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievably bad.
Yeah, poor guy. Well, I saw him crying on the field. I'm like, oh, well, that's terrible. I don't want to see that.
That's rough.
All right, let's just move on. I don't want to talk about that game. Kansas City and New York. This is probably my hardest line to make just because Kansas City is on this huge downtrend, and New York, by hook or by crook, got you know, got their asses beat last week in a cover that I enjoyed thoroughly.
That was the shit cover. Someone who took the Jets, that was a trash cover.
Kansas City -3.5 on the road.
Oof, that was that's what I had as well. But it's that opened at 5 and it is down to 3. Jets are solid at home. They should have covered last week if it wasn't for that roughing the passer call. I mean, 3 is a bit. I know KC's been bad, but 3 is pretty low. 3 is maybe a stay-away game. Otherwise, the 3 is just too little for me to take the Jets. It seems like all of a sudden people are interested in taking the Jets because the Chiefs have been bad. It seems like the perfect spot for Andy Reid to get everyone together and just kind of throttle the Jets. It'll be another trash game, boring, shitty offense, a lot of sloppiness. Kareem Hunt's fantasy value is gone. That was anyone who had a great start to the season with Kareem Hunt.
Now kiss that goodbye.
You're sitting there like, oh, well, now I need a second running back because apparently he can't do anything anymore. I don't think it's really his fault. I think it's more of the offensive flow. But still, it's very disappointing.
All right, next game, Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Jacksonville by 8 points at home. Biggest favorite I can ever remember Jacksonville being.
Well, that's about what they were against the Browns, but that doesn't really count. So, I had them -8.5. It actually opened up at 9.5, which seems a bit high for a Jacksonville team that can't really score. One thing I will pat myself on the back, I love the Cardinals the moment I saw it last week, and although they wanted to give it away, they ended up winning. Yeah. So I got that one.
That was a great call.
So. Yeah, it was just, you know, every once in a while, we feel good about a pick and it actually happens. It's really crazy, but we'll go try to chase that feeling again this week. So it's 9.5. It's sitting around there. Seems like a lot of points, although everyone seems to be on the Colts for some reason. But again, I guess it depends if Ramsey plays and then also Fournette, is he banged up at all? Because they're really the only offense. If they're relying on Bortles, they're fucked.
I don't really know what's going on with that coaching staff and Leonard Fournette, because he was not on the field for a lot of those important plays at the end. They're playing Chris Ivory, and I just don't understand. Like, are they mad at him? Is it a disciplinary thing? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. He seems to have kind of an attitude problem, which is unfortunate, but
Well, my beef with Fournette is that he had braces. That just scares me. It just scares me. I don't trust it. If you still have braces when you're 22, I don't trust you. Sorry.
That's an interesting take. I haven't ever considered that, but now I'm going to look into it.
Get Invisalign. Just be an adult. Get Invisalign. You don't need braces.
Maybe he can't afford it. Maybe he has immense gambling problems like us. And he can't afford anything.
That would make me like him a lot more. All right. Next game, Detroit at Baltimore. I have the Lions by 2.5 on the road.
So Stafford's really, I think, more banged up than people realize. I had Ravens +1. They opened as 3-point favorites, which watching them yesterday, if Stafford's on the field, I mean, the Ravens suck. Like, Joe Flacco's absolutely terrible. Everyone's like, oh, better watch out. But, like, Joe Flacco's garbage. He's I think, one for some ridiculous 21 or something. Like, absolute garbage, more than 20 yards downfield. It's a joke. He fucking sucks. They should have lost. The only reason they won that game last night was because of that fake punt and that 4th-and-1 toss. There was nothing he did. And the fact that the Lions are a better team. So I guess it really depends on Stafford's health. And judging from this line, it must mean he's not that healthy. But good God, there's no way in hell I'm taking the Ravens -3 against the Lions. Because if he's announced out, it's going to jump up to 6.5, probably 6.5, which is still nuts.
Well, do you think the public's going to be on the Lions then? Let's just assume that Stafford plays and this line goes to, you know, 1 or a pick.
Yeah. Oh, the public's going to be all over the Lions, and they should be, because the only thing the Ravens have is if Stafford is banged up, the Ravens have a great defense. But basically, if Stafford is playing, maybe the under ticks up a couple points, and then I love the under, even if Stafford's playing, because the Ravens really last night should have scored about 13 points, but they had two touchdowns they really shouldn't have had. So
I just don't understand this line. I really don't get it.
They must really think Stafford's banged up.
All right,
should be they should be slight favorites for sure.
What's interesting to me is that we haven't been just blindly betting against the Browns every single week.
You know, they've covered once this year, and we probably bet on them at least 10 times.
It's really, for us, it's a shame, because you go into a season knowing that a team is going to win 0 or 1 game, and you know that they're not going to have an above 500 record against the spread, and we're just dumb. We're just dumb because we know these things, like, oh, home dogs, blah, blah, blah. Home dogs and 8-point dogs at home. They just doesn't apply to this team. This is an outlier. This is the exception.
It's unreal. They should have covered last week. I don't know if you're watching at all. But they had that, you know, cover the entire time, but they just couldn't get anything done. It was pretty insane.
It's gross.
I will say I do have the bet of still someone going 0-16. It's looking solid right now. I don't think this is the week they win. That's probably the weeks I think it's going to be most likely is either against Packers or week 17 when the Steelers sit people. But if it hits week 17, I have obviously a great opportunity to hedge and guarantee a profit. But 13 points is a lot, and while Phil Rivers give it, he also take it. And there's nothing barring him from throwing a pick six. And not to mention, I'm sure you want to address this, someone's coming back in a Browns uniform.
My boy, Josh Gordon. It's really great to have him back.
You see some of the news on him? That shit's like pretty depressing and like fucked up. Like, yeah. He was drinking vodka out of water bottle in high school, selling drugs in college. Like, he's got some problems.
Really? I thought the exact opposite. I was like, yeah, he went to college. Like, that's what... Like,
no, the drinking in high school thing, like, out of a water bottle is a bit absurd.
Well, sure, but I didn't say that he did it every single day.
And... Yeah, but trapping in college when you're, like, a D1, like, football player, like, I understand, like, you need money, but, like, I don't know. It's not even... I guess that's not even a big deal. It's just he definitely has some sort of problem, like, drugs.
Yeah.
Substance-wise.
To me, it was more of, like, why are you guys tracking down what he's doing in high school? Like, I don't know. It just seemed like hitting someone while they're down.
Well, you know, the news. We're trying to gear up anything they can.
I know. It's the TMZ-ification. I guess that's a word. But it's just, yeah. like the guy's gone to rehab and done all this stuff. Like, I just don't understand why you're, you know, kicking him when he's down.
For sure. Yeah, it's a little rough, but... I hope the best for him. I don't know how he's still in Cleveland. Did he sign like a 20-year contract? Like, I feel like he should have been released by now.
No, you know what? You know what it is? There's a stipulation in this contract, and I think a lot of contracts, where if you're suspended or taken off the field for specific reasons, like the year that you played or did not play does not count. Mm-hmm. So like they've retained his rights through all of this because like the years on his deal haven't like, you know, kicked back in.
Wow, that's crazy. Damn. Well, maybe this will be the week. If he's anything like he used to be, him and Corey Coleman's actually gonna be a pretty sweet duo. Corey Coleman's very talented. He actually dropped a touchdown last weekend, which would have had our cover, but is what it is. I actually like that duo going forward. Kaiser's fine. Jackson blows. That's all we need on the Browns this week.
All right, can't wait to talk about the Giants. New York at Oakland. Let's just get the line out of the way. Oakland.
I had 6.5.
Oh, I had 9.5.
Whew. I had 6.5. Opened at 7.5. This is with Eli though. With Geno, I mean.
Geno Smith. I mean, all right. So let me just do something real quick. Geno Smith. They said in their statement that they want to see what they have. And first of all, I think we've seen enough. I think we've seen enough from Geno Smith. But what they're doing to Eli Manning is kind of irresponsible. And, you know, whatever. You can say what you want about Eli, but the dude is still classy. And the guy is still he's not a bum. I mean, he's not amazing or as good as people think. He's not as bad as Geno Smith. I mean, seriously, it's kind of a joke. And I assume that this was McAdoo's call because he's, I don't know, desperate, grasping for straws. Like, what do you think is going through his mind?
I don't know. I think Eli's just a fall guy when they really want to fire McAdoo. It's pretty clear. It's not his fault. They're going to go to Geno Smith. It isn't bad. I kind of lean Giants in this game just because their defense is still really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's bad. It's bad. And
it's bad for my health.
Well, you know what? Here's another thing I want to say about Eli is that on Twitter, I saw this video of him being told, or like right after he was told about him losing his starting job. And, you know, they were talking to him about his consecutive streak and all this other stuff. And it's the first game he's going to not start in a Giants uniform since whatever, 2005 or 4 or whatever. And he like started to tear up and he was talking about it. I was like, damn, like, fuck, am I team Eli now? Like yeah. in this war over Eli versus Ben McAdoo, who I probably hate more than anybody now, just because he's a bum and he has no business being in the NFL and he's destroying a team all by himself, albeit a team that I don't really care about. But it's funny that guy who has somehow made me embrace or at least hate a little bit less a guy who I've hated for years, which actually sort of reminds me of something that happened like last week where LeVar Ball, who is someone who got on my nerves a lot, but I'm like team LeVar.
You gotta love the joke, man.
I know.
You gotta absorb it.
I know. I'm just like, I'm team LeVar now because
for sure.
All this nonsense and, you know, the punching down from the higher ups. But it's just like, it's funny how that can happen to you, how you can be swayed by these other forces.
Yeah, it's funny. He's just a troll, and everyone's falling for it. Everyone's eating up, just like the president.
And one other thing I just want to say about Geno before you give me what you got on this game. I saw this on Twitter by one of the Philly reporters for the Philly.com. The lowest passer rating since 2000 is owned by Derek Anderson, the old Carolina quarterback, and the second lowest is owned by none other than Geno Smith, 72.3. So,
that is not great. Some say.
Notables that are better: Blaine Gabbert, Mark Sanchez, Blake Bortles, Chris Beathard. So there you go. That's what you want to see. You want to feel it out. That's fine. Yeah. Let's feel it out.
That's good stuff right there.
I guess they're tanking,
too
right?
Too much time. Let's move on.
I know. Does this mean that the Giants are officially just in tank mode and they're just going to fire McAdoo?
What were they doing before?
Fair point.
My Super Bowl bet screwed?
I'm sorry to tell you. Geno Smith is tanking your Super Bowl bet. Okay, Carolina at New Orleans. This could be the best game of the week.
I agree. This is a big moment for Cam to show he can actually beat good teams because he's kind of just been beating up on bad teams. I had New Orleans -5 because I think they're a bit of a better team and they're at home.
Yeah, I said 4.
And it opened at 4, so nice job by you. They handled them pretty well. That was what, week 3? A long time, a while, 10 weeks ago now. And the Saints and the Panthers both have been on upward trends since then. I think Kikili's healthy, so it's, Panthers got a legitimate shot. We'll see if Super Cam's available. This is a tough one. I just want to kind of sit back and watch this game, but I'm gonna have to bet on it.
I think the Saints is the right side here. I think the home team is the right side.
I think it's gonna be very public, so I think it might even be up to 4-5 if it's 4.5 or 5. So if I can get the Panthers +4.5 to get that hook, that's tempting just because how NFL, it's one of those valuable numbers where if you can get that extra half point, but we'll see. It's gonna be one of the tougher games to pick for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know what, you always especially like teams coming off a loss. So that New Orleans at LA game last week was a great game, but it was a tough loss for the Saints. New Orleans also, I saw this number today, which I thought was interesting, because it seems like that New Orleans has dominated their division for a while, but the exact number. 11-3 against the number versus division opponents the last 3 years. So that's that's Tampa crazy. Bay, Carolina, and who am I missing? Tampa Bay, Carolina,
Atlanta.
There you go. So 11-3, and that's outright all games against the number. So not at home, not just on the road. So
that's crazy.
Something to keep in mind.
Yeah. It would make sense they win because also the Panthers look terrible against the Jets, or second road game in a row. Superdome's a tough place to play, and the Saints can really run the ball. So
I would be surprised if this number doesn't get to 6 by kickoff, like you were saying, because
that'd be pretty crazy. I think it'll end up at 4 or 5.
Well, the thing is that, like we always say, like Vegas has been getting killed the last couple of weeks, so they got to start bringing these numbers up a little bit. And even this, I hit it exact, but I think the public is still going to be on the Saints, like you were saying. And
oh yeah, that's why I think it'll jump up a point.
And even last week,
I think the teams are more even than most people think.
Probably, but last week when the Saints were at LA, most of the money was still on the Rams that game. And so, I don't know. They got to make it up somehow, and I'm just not sure how they're going to do it, but they got to make it up.
Well, the money was on the Rams. The public was on the Saints, I'm pretty certain.
I was hearing that a lot of the money was on LA. Yeah. But
the Sharps were on the Saints, or the Rams.
Yeah.
The Sharps lost almost everything else.
Yeah, they like that under 3. Next game. Speaking of the Rams, L.A. Rams at Arizona, your favorite team, Arizona Cardinals.
Shout out to Blaine Gabbert.
I've won so much money this season on the 49ers, and it seems like you have won a lot of money on Arizona. So.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I remember your picks more than you. All right. I had this too number at 7.5.
I had at 6, and it opened at 7, so you get that one. Sitting at 7. The thing is, with a young team like the Rams, they come to an away game after a big home win. I could see a very slow start, and the Cardinals kind of hanging around, at least in the first half, and then maybe the Rams blow it in the second half. As we saw on Sunday, the Cardinals do have a solid rush defense, and if they can contain Todd Gurley and kind of make Goff beat him, Goff's been good, but still, it's a division game. Cardinals are a solidly coached team. Their defense is solid. So it's really, can they turn the ball over and keep this game low scoring, even though they it was 27-24 somehow with the Jags, but I think it's gotta be a low scoring one for them to stay close.
I do too, and it seems like this number might go a little bit higher. I mean, the public's going to be all over the Rams, right?
I mean, that's I think it's going to be at least 7.5, probably 8.
Especially after last week seeing them beat up on the Saints, an 8-win
team.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, they're definitely. Then the other thing to think about is they got the Eagles coming to town next week. The Rams do, so they could be a look ahead. So that's another thing to think about.
Right. And it's possible that this gets, I mean, I think 8 probably a kickoff. It could get a little higher, but not too much higher. So
I don't think it gets higher than 8. That's a lot. So I'd say unless money pours in, but I don't imagine a lot of sharp money coming in on a young team on the road after a big win against a well-coached team.
Yeah, with you. All right, next game, Philly at Seattle. I saw a stat somewhere that Seattle has been a favorite by at home every year for every game the last 4 years. And this is the first time that they're not, in fact, favored by 3 at home. So my team, I have my team.
Well, you mean opened, right? Because they ended up being dogs against the Falcons.
It must have been, it must have been opened. So just to specify there. Journalistic integrity, I like it. I have my team favored by 3.5 on the road.
I had 1.5. I will say this is before the Cam Chancellor news. So that makes up the point. So I would have had, closer to 2.5 or 3, and it opened right at 3. So you got that one, which makes sense. Eagles are definitely a better team, but I think, Seattle's still solid, and that's all the way up to 6. And I know you're an Eagles fan, but you're eating 6 on the road in Seattle after facing, pretty mediocre opponents the past 5 weeks. You're going across country on a primetime game. It seems like just a lot of points to swallow.
I have one little mini 15-second rant about you haven't played anybody. It's funny because in the NFL, there are only 32 teams. And if you are the Eagles on one end of the spectrum, and if you are the Patriots on the other side in the AFC, there's only so many teams that you can play that aren't yourselves, that are good. Like,
yeah, I understand. All I'm saying is they haven't faced good competition well, so I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying they haven't really been tested. I mean,
yeah, but who's tested? Yeah, but who would you have said that, okay, well, they beat them, so this is a good win?
I mean, think about the Minnesota? The Chargers, that was a good game. The Giants, before they really fell apart, that was a good game. They're just the last couple. The Redskins was a solid one. That was 5 weeks ago, right?
Sure, yeah. They crushed the Redskins.
But now, the 49ers, Bears, and what was the other? The Broncos. Those are, pretty. And then now we see with the Cowboys, pretty. No, they dominated, rightly so. Didn't have any problems, so good for them. But I think between the Seahawks and Rams, they got to stumble up one of these games, right? Two West Coast road games in a row against playoff teams.
Yeah, at some point. I mean, you'd like to see, outside of these two games, there's another game. I don't have the Eagles schedule up. Hold on.
They play the Raiders too, right? And I mean, it is what it is with the Raiders, but it could, they could always string something together, although it doesn't look likely.
All right, so the Eagles are, so apparently, they have Seattle and then the Rams next week, and I do know that they're staying on the West Coast over the week, so that'll be interesting. And then they have games against the lowly Giants and the Raiders, so, and then the Cowboys in the last week, so. For example, if the Eagles split these two games, if they beat the Rams and they lose against the Seahawks, so like, is that does that do it for you then? Like, I just don't. There's not enough teams.
Not cover for once. It's just really obnoxious. I don't get how you cover like 18 times in a row. This seems like 6 of points is a lot for a not. I don't know. Just if you think swing it back the other way, are you taking Eagles -12 at home against the Seahawks? 1 point less than the Bears.
Do you think the Eagles are better than the Seahawks?
Yes.
So how much do you think their home
field is? But not 9 points better on a neutral field. That's pretty insane.
Well, no, it wouldn't be 9 points better. It's the line's 3.5. Neutral field,
no,
that's 6.
It's up to 6 now. Did you not hear that part?
Oh, no. So it opened at 3 and it's now at 6?
It's up to 6.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm thinking people hammered it, like public, even the Sharps hammered it at 3 because that's like a pretty solid line, but now it's 6. That's a bit much for me.
Hmm, that is interesting. Eagles 9-2 against the number. I mean,
I thought it was not. I thought it was, they've only lost once to. Oh no, they didn't cover the Giants game. That's right. So they're 9-2.
Yeah, I'm seeing 9-2 here. So.
That makes sense because they didn't, or did they? I don't know. Whatever, it's not a big deal.
9-2, and then 7-1 as favorites.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this is an interesting club. It's a good team. I wish you'd stop doubting my team.
You probably want Wentz to get a bad game out of his system before the playoffs.
Yeah, this isn't college basketball. Come on. We don't need that.
What game was it? It was the Dallas game. He did make some bad throws. It's just... they, you know, they're so good everywhere else that he is able to overcome it. So it's kind of like Dak last year. No, we've talked about that before. Just kind of, he doesn't have that margin for error. Wentz does now. So he made some bad throws, but it didn't make a difference.
Totally. And he had a really bad first half that game. And he,
That's why they're in it.
And the good part is,
capitalize.
Right. And it's a great point that you made about margin for error because, you know, I hate to even say it, but it's like a little Brady-esque where you can crush a guy for a half. And you're still not out of the woods because you got another half of this guy and he could totally turn around. And that's what happened in the Dallas game and that's what happened in a lot of games earlier in the season. And you got to beat him for, you know, the entire game, not just a half. So yeah. You think you got him, you don't. So, all right, let's move on. Last game, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Pittsburgh on the road, one of the gamblers' most feared foes. I have the Steelers by 7 on the road.
Whew. Wow.
That's too high?
I had 3.5, and it opened at 5.5, so you got that one. But I kind of just did the math of it. I think they were 9.5-point favorites at home, or probably a little less. 5.5 is a lot. I know the Bengals haven't looked good, but the Steelers are so bad on the road in a rivalry game. This is the Bengals. You know, they don't have anything else to play for, so it's going to be pretty much – they're going to be – I mean, if Perfect's even eligible, I have no clue. They're just going to kind of be dirty. It's going to be a grind game, and the Steelers are so bad on the road. I like the Bengals a lot here. And if this gets up to 6, which it probably will be, that's really nice.
Yeah, I do too. And this is classic home dog. What does hurt you a little bit here is prime time. Dalton on the prime time. It's one of the tenets. Yeah,
it's not great. Also, I like the under here. If the Bengals, you know, if you want to do a little parlay action, if the Bengals are going to cover, it's going to go under. In my opinion.
What's funny? So I print out the schedules when we do this every week, and because I like to write this stuff down. You know, there are some things that, you know, you like to do with an actual piece of paper. So next to each one of the games. According to the website that I'm using, they have tickets and where you can buy tickets. And it's like, oh, blah, blah, you know, there's 1,000 tickets starting at blank price. And this game, there are tickets available to this game for $22.
Ooh, wow.
That's the cheapest one. It's the cheapest one I see on here. Hmm. So fantastic.
Well, that's actually not as bad as I thought it would be.
$22 for a ticket to a football game?
You get the Bills games for $6.
It's dirt. Yeah, but you probably get some student discount. I don't even know what you do.
No, it's literally on StubHub.
StubHub. All right, well.
This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek because every other podcast.
I know, seriously.
I never really use them. I go on there and I don't find it that helpful. So it looks like we won't be using them as a sponsor.
Oh, you know, I will gladly take them as a sponsor. I'll gladly take some SeatGeek money.
Oh, no, for sure. But I'm just saying I've never actually used a product. But
it's time to reach out.
Stu Gotts advertises for stuff all the time on Levitard's show, and there's no way in hell he uses any of them. If you want to just laugh, listen to some of his reads talking about making stuffing from Blue Apron or what's some other one? Drinking shitty whiskey, Canadian Mist whiskey, which is like a $10 bottle of whiskey. It's just very fun.
What's funny, listen, I love Blue Apron. I would love for them to be a sponsor of our podcast, but I find it hard to believe that people are using Blue Apron. I just don't understand. I don't see it. I understand the business model.
Agrees. It's been opened and it plummeted. So you're not wrong there.
Yeah.
It's a good concept, but you have to have a lot of money and be, you know, I don't know, very busy and also have high food standards. So for me and you, let's see.
You want to know what's interesting, though, is...
We don't have a lot of money. Although, once we have this hot gambling streak, we'll be rolling in Blue Apron. Food standards, I do like... I'm more of a quantity guy over quality. I like to mix it in half and half. And then with time, probably have more time than most. So we're probably not the best clients, but we'll promote it. Well, marketing guy.
Absolutely, we will. And what's interesting... So I was doing a little bit of reading about Blue Apron. I mean, now that you mentioned it. But about their business model. So essentially, if you're Blue Apron, you're marketing to these people who don't necessarily have a ton of cooking experience, you would say. Mm-hmm. So they like to have their food in these proportions that are already made, and they have directions on how to cook and step by step and do, you know, ba 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 down these lists. But if they're truly trying to teach people how to cook, I mean,
not. They're teaching people how to rely on their product.
Well, okay.
I think that's what they're going for.
Okay, sure. But in the process, they are essentially, I mean, there are techniques in these step-by-step. There's videos. There's mm-hmm. there's things that you can do where you're teaching them how to do certain things. And and with these certain, you know, oftentimes fancier foods than, you know, maybe the average person eats. And you're learning these techniques to go along with it. You're almost teaching people to cook. And if you're a good cook or at least an average cook, you might not be using Blue Apron because you want to buy the food yourself or pick it out yourself. So in a weird way, they're almost teaching their people to not use their product long term. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but yeah, it's for the people with not a lot of time, which what it really comes down to.
I don't know. All right, that's my Blue Apron diatribe. This podcast is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron. All right, well, maybe we should reach out to Blue Apron. We'll have a talk.
Hey, Blue Apron, we have tons of listeners. I mean, tons. Just, you wouldn't even believe the amount of listeners we have. See, what I did there is selling our podcast and kind of, you know, maybe overinflating its value a bit, but that's what you got to do when you want to market, you know what I'm saying?
That's what you got to do. Market to the people. All right, got anything on your mind? That's it. It's all games.
I think it's time to make some picks. That's what I have in my mind.
All right, let's give me your picks. How many you got?
5 picks this week. Rolling back after a losing week. Feeling pretty confident. Got 3 home dogs. We'll roll out with them first. First off, I'm going to take my Bills against the Patriots this week. Really want to hate myself, so I'm looking forward to that. +9, that's a lot of points. Hopefully the Bills can keep this one close. It's more of a wishful thinking pick, but also I like the amount of points for Buffalo. Next up, got the Seahawks +6 in prime time, kind of just fading the Eagles against the spread. And also I just think that's a lot of points for a team that's not on the Eagles level, but
tisk tisk. When will you learn, my young apprentice?
I won't learn. I kept betting against the Celtics and it finally hit, so we're hoping it continues. So you got the Seahawks +6. I like the Bengals Monday night at home against Steelers getting 5.5, and they'll probably be 6 by kickoff, so keep that one in mind. I think there'll be a gritty game and they'll give it, you know, it's kind of be the Bengals, they're, you know, Perfect's going to tear a couple ACLs, and I think they'll keep this closer, and the Steelers are pretty terrible on the road. And then my final two are 2 favorites at home, all home teams this week. Got the Titans -6.5 against the Texans. I think the Titans are due for a bounce back. They've been playing poorly lately. They get to play the lowly Texans, who allowed Joe Flacco to run for 30 yards, and Tom Savage, I believe, is still going to be starting at quarterback. So it's a lot of points, but the Texans blow, and the Titans are due for a bounce back. And last but not least, in the weird line of the week, I got the Falcons -3. Same situation with the Cowboys before where they were bad. I think this is a weird line. Everyone's going to be all in the Vikings. I like the Vikings normally too, but I'm going to be in against them this week. I think the Falcons continue with their upward trend as they've been playing pretty well as of late, and they finally pass the ball to Julio, of course, after you traded it.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, Julio, what an absolute monster. I mean, him and AB are just freaks.
And hey, don't discount Adam Thielen.
Yeah, hey, I love when white guys are doing stuff. I get that little tingle inside. It's all good. My picks: Atlanta at home, stole yours. Cincinnati home dog.
You douche.
Listen, there are only so many games. I got to pick what I like here. So Atlanta
16 this week. Can't play too.
Atlanta, Cincinnati. And New Orleans, I'm going with probably right. Joe Public here. So I just think New Orleans is really good. And I think this, you know, I guess this line correctly, but
and I have a feeling Joe Pub's been hitting a lot lately. So I don't blame you.
Yeah, I think the Saints are really good. I love teams coming off a loss. And Carolina's good too. But, you know, I said that said about New Orleans owning other teams in their division. So, you know, I'm interested. Color me interested.
And don't, via my recommendation, only take the Bills pick if you like hating yourself. So that's how confident I am in it.
All right, buddy. That's it. We went a little long this week. There's a lot of games.
Yep. Yeah, we had some off menu topics, but there are 16 games this week, a lot to talk about. But another solid week. Let's hope for a more entertaining slate of games, as they're pretty boring this past week. Other than that, a couple of weeks till Christmas and Christmas Day NBA, which I'm looking forward to. A little Joel Embiid versus Chris Stapps.
Love
I don't
it.
Know why I brought that up, but it is what it is. But Falcons and Bengals are both going to hit. And then what's a long defeated week? Combined 8-0? Well, I guess we can combine 8-0, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, bud. We got to do some Twitter here. We sometimes don't do the Twitter. Let's
at
do
JWW70 on Twitter.
Yes, sir. And
standard fire keeps coming in. And
it's flames.
Pod and chill. Is it pod underscore chill?
Yeah, underscore. Right? Yeah, underscore. Yes, sir.
All right, and then at Weston, what is it, Weston Blazy?
Yeah, straight up. Just Weston Blazy, straight up.
Yeah, there you go. Weston Road flows.
Weston Road flows. That's it. All right, I will talk to you next week. Oh, by the way, we talked a little TV. Watch Big Mouth. Watch Big Mouth.
Oh yeah, I watched all of Big Mouth. I don't know why we didn't talk about that. I watched through that.
Oh, you know what?
We got to save it for next week. We've gone too long.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a Big Mouth podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.